Praise God, praise God. Well, church, let our visitors know how welcome they are this morning, how much we love them.
I'm glad that you came to worship the Lord with us.
Amen. I just want to get right into the word of the Lord this morning, if I may. We're so thankful for the praise and worship, thankful for the praise team and the choir that sang for us this morning, the beautiful songs. Amen. They're such a wonderful ministry. And singing. If you love singing, you're going to love heaven. Amen. You're going to rejoice in heaven. And if you can't sing down here, don't worry. You'll be able to sing over there. Amen. You'll have your opportunity. Glory to God. Praise God. That made y'all happy, didn't it? Amen. Praise God. If you can't sing here, you will certainly be able to sing in heaven. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Acts this morning. Into the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. Such a melodious sound as we hear the pages of God's holy word being turned this morning. Thank God for those of you that brought the word with you. Amen. I thank God for his word. In the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse number 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, in part held with the apostles. When there was an assault made both on the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were ware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there they preached the gospel. Brother Chris, would you ask God's blessing and his anointing upon his messenger this morning?
Father, we love you, Lord. We just thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Father God.
Hallelujah.
For your son, Father, that would die for us, Father God, Lord, that we would have hope, Father God, an eternal hope, Father God. For without you, we are hopeless, Lord. Father, I ask right now that you would just let us receive this word, Father God. Lord, let us receive it to our
hallelujah.
Ears. Receive it into our hearts, Father God. Lord, speak through Brother Eddie, Father God. Lord, use him as your willing vessel, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Before I get into the message this morning, I don't know your expectation. Don't know what you think may be about to happen in this service. I can honestly tell you that I don't know. I don't have a clue. God doesn't inform me. But I feel such a presence of the Holy Ghost this morning. I feel such a thickness of his Holy Spirit. And I pray that it will meet each and every need. There's a multitude of people here. I know the crowd is not very big, but there's a diversity here this morning from different backgrounds, from different families. And I pray, and I know that God sees each and every need. And I pray that wherever we are this morning in our mind, that we'll come together in one mind and one accord, receptive and with an expectation of a mighty move of God. And I will assure you, amen, God will not disappoint us. From the passage that I just read this morning, I want to bring the message entitled, Don't Change the Gospel.
Amen.
Don't ever change the gospel. By the way, the gospel doesn't change. Some people's perception of it may. Some generation may think it needs upgrading. Some may think it's old-fashioned. Others may think that it doesn't make sense. Others may call it fables. I even heard this week that one person put it or brought it among themselves to say that they didn't even think that the Bible was the most popular book in the world, that it has slipped in its prominence Amen. So there's all kinds of thoughts and opinions in the world today, but that does not change the gospel according to the word of the Lord. Amen. I want to bring to our attention this morning that Paul and Barnabas were anointed and God had set them apart to go to the Gentiles to preach the word of the Lord, to preach salvation through Jesus Christ, to preach the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And God was blessing them mightily. Many, many believers came to the knowledge of Christ through their anointed preaching. Let me just pause to say that when God lays something on your heart, never discount it. Amen. God has a purpose and God has a reason and God has an opportunity for each and every one that he anoints to bring forth the gospel, to bring forth a testimony, to be a witness, amen, of his mercy and of his grace. And the Lord was blessing and the Lord was bringing believers to them, and they were seeing the mighty hand of God, and God was opening up doors and God was healing folks and God was delivering folks, and the Lord was using Paul and Barnabas mighty in the word of God, and the Spirit of the Lord led them to this particular location. The Bible mentions as Iconium, and there was a great number of Greeks as well as Jews that lived in this particular location, and God saw a need, amen, for the word of God to go out, and here was Paul, and he was speaking to this particular group of people, and he was preaching what the Lord had told him to preach, the gospel according to the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ's own words. And he was preaching the crucifixion. And, you know, and I believe that even today that some folks will say, you know what, when is the church going to get a new vision? Or when is the church going to get a new message? I've even heard folks say that I get tired of going and hearing the same old sermons. But let me tell you something, folks. The message does not change. Amen. It may be presented in different modes. It may be presented in different attitudes and different people speaking. But the message itself does not change. And I, for one, am so thankful, amen, that it doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here was the situation. And they was preaching the word of the Lord. And they preached Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified and resurrected as our Savior and forgiver of sins. I don't know a better message, amen, to preach than Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins and carrying our sin-laden life, amen, to an old rugged cross, amen, where he bled and he died for each and every one of us. That ought to encourage each and every one of us to put our hands together and thank the Lord for what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible said many Jews and Greeks believed. Amen. Many Jews and Greeks believed. That in itself is a miracle, because you know the Jewish faith, amen, was not recognizing that Jesus was the Christ. They still held fast to the Mosaic law, and they still held fast, amen, that there was going to come one, but they didn't believe that it was Jesus. But these Jews and Greeks believed. But there was also a large contingent of unbelieving Jews who stirred up the Gentiles. Can I tell you that when the Lord sends revival, there's a certain group of people that are not happy about revival. Can I tell you, there's a certain group of people, amen, that would wish every church that preached the Lord Jesus Christ was not only disbanded, amen, but locks upon their door so they could not stand in the pulpit and preach Jesus Christ anymore. You say, Brother Eddie, surely that's not present in this day. Yes, it is. Amen, church. We need to wake up and understand that there is an adversary stirring up controversy, stirring up situation after situation. situation. But I, as a man of God, and I hope you understand this morning, I cannot and I never will bend, amen, to popular opinion. I cannot, because that doesn't change the gospel. I may change, amen. I look in the mirror and I see myself changing, but I cannot change the rock. I cannot change the foundation. I cannot change the word of God that was in the beginning, and the word became God, and the word was with God. That word will never change, and thank God the blood never changes. The blood still gives us redemption of our sin. The blood is still the only way to find redemption. It's still the only way of repentance. I can't preach a new modernization. I can't preach something, amen, that's new and exciting. I have to preach what the word of God stands for. Thank God it doesn't change. Thank God it doesn't change. Thank God it's still piercing souls. Thank God it's still changing lives. Can I just say, amen, many, many church people have given up on a lot of loved ones, but because we tried to do it with certain things. We tried to appease them. We tried to help them. But the only thing, can I say this morning, that is going to change a life is the word of God, amen, and repentance and baptism, amen, and obedience unto the Lord. Hallelujah. In this modern world, amen, there is a stirring. There's a controversy. There is a desire, amen, to make it simpler. There's a desire to hear the feel-good messages. There's a desire to come in and condone my actions. There's a desire that God is a big loving God and understanding and forgiving of all that we do. That is certainly the truth. But he tells us to obey his word and to obey his commandments and live holy and righteous, amen, as the Spirit of God remains in us, amen, that we may walk according to the word of the Lord and not according to what the world expects. So many Jews, many Greeks believed. Thank God. You know, we say that kind of nonchalantly, but you know what a mighty miracle that was for Jews to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Went against everything that they were taught. It went against everything that they had grown up in. It went against everything that the synagogues were preaching. Amen. But let me tell you something. These two mighty men of God saw that there was a need, amen, to stand fast on the word of God and to not change, amen, and not to buckle in to political correctness, but to stand strong and preach the word of God. Amen. I wouldn't change a word in the word of God. There is not a word that needs to be updated. There's not a word that needs to be added to. The word is going to stand, folks. Amen. And that's what we need to preach. Amen. To those who are believers today. Hallelujah. They begin to preach. And the Jews and the Greeks that begin to believe begin to see mighty miracles and begin to understand the salvation through Jesus Christ. But there was a controversy that arose. Those who were unbelieving Jews begin to stir up the Gentiles. Can I say this morning that that is completely backward to what it needs to be? The unbelieving stirred the believing. Think about that if you would. You as a church member, you as a born again Christian, say, Brother Eddie, how in the world could that ever happen? It's happening today. Can I tell you who's the most boisterous? Can I tell you who speaks the loudest? It is the unbelieving. It is the unbelieving. Because too long as the church kind of took a back seat and said, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Can I tell you today, and this is an honest confession, I would not be standing in the pulpit today. I would not be born again had the word not offended me. Had the word not offended my lifestyle. Amen. I thought that I could do whatever I wanted, but I found out there's a greater power. Amen. There's a God of mercy. There's a saving God. Amen. Who pricked my heart, who convicted my soul, and told me that I was bound for hell. But it didn't have to be that way. I'm so thankful that I heard the
message. I'm so thankful, amen, that I obeyed the message. I'm so thankful that a man of God didn't stand in the pulpit and try to sugarcoat it, but he told me I needed to be born again. And let me tell you, as a congregation this morning, if you're here today and you have not been born again, what are you waiting for? My hope is in God. What am I waiting for? There may be no tomorrow. There may be no next service. Today is the day of salvation. Thank God for the convicting power. But can I tell you, it ought to be the believers stirring up the unbelievers. Hello? Oh, Brother Eddie, I don't want to sow discord. I don't want to upset anybody. Let me tell you something. If the church doesn't upset this world today, amen, we're headed for disaster. Glory to God. We're sitting back and listening, amen, to unbelievers. I don't want to be offensive, but we got unbelievers in our government. We got unbelievers in our school. We got unbelievers taking care of our children. We got unbelievers that we work for. Amen. And we've grown a great contingent of silent believers. But let me tell you something. I think it's time for the church, and I'm not talking about just First Pentecostal Church. I'm talking about every child of God who's born again, every child of God who's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's time to stir up the unbelievers. It's time to stir up this generation. It's time to stir up our neighborhood. It's time to stir up churches. It's time to get a hold of the Word of God and know that it's not going to change for me, and it's not going to change for anybody. But if we will boldly and stand up and declare the Word of God, I believe we'll see a stirring of unbelievers come to the Lord. Hallelujah. So much so that audiences can be moved by the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. But I also got to tell you, if you're going to stir the unbelievers, you better be prepared to be attacked. Man, you got to be prepared to be attacked. But I got good news for you. Amen. Hallelujah. We got the armor. I said we got the armor. Hallelujah. You may not look like it. I may look like I got a suit and a tie on, but you can't see, amen, unless you are a believer, what I'm clothed in this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got the helmet of salvation. Glory to God. I got the breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. I got the shield of faith. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. And above all, I got the sword, the mighty word of God. Hallelujah. That is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting asunder this morning. Let me tell you, church, you as a believer are more than a conqueror. You are more, amen, than prepared to meet the onslaught of the adversary and the onslaught of the unbelievers today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can I tell you something about unbelievers? There is not a thing in this world they can say or do that'll change the fact that you've been born again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody told me one time in a seminar, said, when you know and you know that you know, then confidence replaces fear. Amen. When you know and you know that you know. Come on. When I say we got to be born again believers, you know, those that kind of want to raise their hand and not real sure, amen, those are the ones that really maybe don't know. But if you've been born again and you know it without a shadow of a doubt, there is nobody or there is nothing that can ever change the fact that you are a believer and you've been born again and the blood of Jesus is protecting you and you have the armor. So prepare to be attacked, but don't prepare to lose. We're winners, folks. We're winners through God's word and through his power. Prepare to be attacked for the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Not for preaching. You're not going to be attacked for preaching, but you're going to be attacked for preaching the gospel. Amen. Preacher, you're too hard. Preacher, you're too abusive. Preacher, you won't stand still. I can't help it. Somebody told me, why do you move around? I said, because I can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody once told me a live wire never gets stepped on. Hallelujah. Devil's trying to say, would you stand still? Would you stand? No, I can't stand still. Amen. When I get to thinking about the salvation of the Lord, when I get to thinking about the message of the cross, when I get to thinking about what he did for me, let alone my family and the congregation and every person who is willing to come to the Lord, I can't stand still. Amen. I got to tell somebody. I got to move around a little bit because the Holy Spirit that is within me has so energized me that I want to let the world know that you can be a believer, but it must come, amen, through the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. I thought about my little bit about my upbringing and my history, and I remember my granddaddy was a man of God and preached the message of the Lord for a number of years, And I was with him as my pastor through several churches. And the first church that I can remember was a church in Cedartown. And that church was built by faith and on faith. And my granddaddy and about two other faithful men of God who worked during the day would go over in the evening. They worked in Rockmart, and they would go over in the evening, and they had this piece of property, and God had given them a vision that they were going to see a church built there. And it was in a little tight-knit neighborhood, and word got out that a Pentecostal church was going up in the neighborhood, and it angered some folks. Let me tell you something. There's a lot to get upset about in the world today, but getting upset about a church that's going to preach the gospel, I don't understand folks getting upset and uptight, but they did. My granddaddy and these two faithful men, they would go over and they began to lay blocks for the foundation. After working all day, and they would work till dark, and then they would go home, and the next opportunity that they got, they'd come back over from Rockmart into Cedartown and start to work on that foundation again, and they would find that the block that they had laid previously had been broken down. Now, if that happened one time, that would cause a little a discouragement, I guess, but it wouldn't cause somebody to give up. So they got the block and couldn't really afford to buy new blocks, so they kind of cleaned the old dried cement off of those the best they could, and they began to lay the foundation again. Let me tell you something, folks. You'll never build anything till you get the foundation right. Amen. That's spiritual too. Too many folks want to change their life and be perfect without going to the foundation. And the foundation is Jesus. You'll never get your life right until you get Jesus in your life. Amen. So they begin to lay the foundation again, begin to build the block up, go home, rest, go to work the next day. Next opportunity come, the walls were torn down again. Now once and twice, but you do that three or four times and the devil says, you know what, you just might as well pack your bag and go somewhere else. I'm afraid there's too many people giving up too easily on God today. Amen. Can I tell you the best is yet to come? Can I tell you if you will persevere? Can I tell you if you'll not give up? Amen. The Lord will do what he said he would do. So they went back. They laid the foundation again. Over a period of time, finally, I guess those that tore them down got tireder than the ones that were building it up. Some of you heard me. I don't think the rest of you did. I said, after a period of time, those that are fighting against you are going to get tireder than those who are fighting for you. Amen. They got tired of tearing the wall down because they said, these people are persistent. It doesn't matter how many times we tear the wall down. They just come right back and build it back up. Amen. It makes me think of a yard full of those fire ants. They're persistent. I'll tear them mounds down and they'll come right back and build it up. Amen. But somebody has some perseverance. Thank God that my granddaddy and those other brothers, they would pray. They would pray, Lord, help us to build this church. And can I tell you, today, as I stand here, there is a church on Adams Avenue in Cedartown, Georgia, that was built because there was a persistency there. There was a perseverance there. They may be more against you than are for you, but greater is He that is for you than all of those that are against you. And the church was built, and souls were saved. And my granddaddy stood in the pulpit and he preached the gospel. Years later, the Lord called him to build a church, or to start a church in Rockmart. The building was already there this time. But being my granddaddy and my mom's dad, we followed him. We were actually living in Villarico that whole time, and that was going to be a little bit nearer for us. So we would drive to Rockmart. Little bitty block building, kind of reminiscent of the one that started here. But a group of people got together, a small band of people. Amen. We used to be excited when we get 25 to church. Amen. Those little pews, you know, you could set them about one-fourth of the of where this area is right here, but gather believers, and the Lord blessed, and they were able to remodel the church, and they were able to add Sunday school rooms. But let me tell you something. The church building looked different. The origin of that church looked different than the one in Cedartown. But can I tell you, when my granddaddy stood in the pulpit, he preached not a new message, but he preached the gospel according to the word of the Lord. He preached the same gospel that he preached in Cedartown. Years and years later, after my granddad retired from Goodyear, after 35 plus years of service, God called him to start a work in Villarica. In fact, it ended up on the same grounds that we are now sitting, but it didn't start off that way. They found a little building there in a little village, and they thought this would be perfect. It was an old schoolhouse, and my granddad and a few of the believers, I was still quite small at the time, and they went to the man that owned it, and they wanted to rent it, and he gave them a price, and they were ready. But a group of people around the neighborhood got a petition. Come on. We don't want no church here. Amen. It looked like two out of the three churches that he was trying to start, there were some people, amen, unbelievers trying to stir up everybody around them. You know what? And I'm thinking, you know, the people that went, I'm sure some of the signatures they got on that name, probably people didn't really care, but that, you know, one way or the other, but that those would stir them. Oh, no, we don't want a church right here. Think of the noise. Think of this. Think of the parking, all that stuff. But they got the names. So my granddad was very disappointed. He began to look around for another building. Found another building. Guess what? Same scenario. Talked to the land, to the owner, and he said, yeah, we'll rent it to you. And then he had to call him back and said, I'm sorry, Mr. Bailey. He said, I got a group of neighbors that signed a petition and said, we don't want a Pentecostal church right there in our neighborhood. Two times, struck out. You know, they say sometimes three times you strike out. Amen. You might strike out 15 times, but keep swinging, okay? Keep swinging. Amen. So guess what? We got a hold of some folding chairs. Or the adults did. They went up to my great-granddaddy's house, who lived on Harlan Lane Road. And right there in the open air, we had church. It got cool. We went in. We crowded into the little living room. We had church, you know. But lo and behold, after a time, this building down here that is no longer here, it was a little box structure, came available. We came one Sunday morning. The preacher dismissed, and he said, this is the last service that we'll be having in this building. We will be moving to another facility. So my granddaddy said, does that mean, after church, he said, does that mean this building will be for rent? He said, yes, sir, here's the name and number. And from there, the church was built, and the church has been built here. My granddaddy stood in that pulpit, and he preached the gospel. In 1976, when the final work was done in this auditorium, my granddaddy stood in the pulpit, and he preached the gospel. I cannot stand here today with a clear conscience and tell you that I can preach anything else other than the gospel according to the word of God. Not because there's a long lineage, Not because my granddaddy did it, but because I, as a man of God, cannot preach anything else except the gospel. Amen. The gospel is what will set you free. The gospel is what, amen, will chase your sins away. The blood of Jesus Christ, amen, it points to the blood as the only redeeming power. So Paul and Barnabas could not preach anything else. But let me tell you something. They may have checked. Don't get upset what I'm about to say. Okay, come on. Don't think I'm trying to say anything. I'm just saying what Paul and Barnabas did. Rather than change their message, they changed their audience. Don't throw nothing at me. I ain't changing the audience. I'm trying to get folks in the church. Amen. I'm trying to get folks to come to the knowledge of Christ. But Paul and Barnabas left there, amen, and they went to Lystra and to Derbe, and they began to preach, and the Lord blessed. And let me tell you something. What was remarkable, as Paul was standing ministering, there was such a move of the power of the Holy Ghost that there was a man sitting in the very congregation who had been a cripple from his mother's womb. He was an impotent man. He couldn't do anything for himself, but he was sitting there. And right in the middle of the message, right in the middle, amen, of the distribution of the gospel according to the Lord, amen, and according to the word of God, the Apostle Paul stopped mid-service, right in the middle of his message, and he perceived that this man had faith. Glory to God. I would hope, and I would pray, that every person under the sound of my voice has faith to believe that God can move, that God can heal, that God can deliver, whatever your case may be. I believe that the Lord is the answer. But I've tried to get in the mindset of the Apostle Paul as he was preaching and ministering. And I know how the anointing of God is. Sometimes it gets a hold of you. And sometimes you can't get the words out fast enough because the Spirit of God is just moving. But right in the middle of his message, right in the middle of his sermon, he locks eyes on a man, a person that is in the audience. And this person, amen, the Bible says Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. Amen. Paul did the unthinkable. You know, it's one thing when you're speaking to a person and say, if you'll just believe, God will heal you. But in the middle of the message, Paul went out on a limb. But not really. Amen. If you think about it, if we'll just take a step, God will do the rest. And I thought of the old time evangelist, Brother Chris, Brother Smith Wigglesworth. And we read his book, and we read his exploits, and we even as ministers and believers say, "Oh, I don't think I'd have done that." This man was so full of faith, not in himself, not in his ability, but he stayed true to the message, amen? And he stayed true to believe that all things are possible. And some of the things that he did, I heard that he was praying for a woman one time and she had cancer in the stomach. And the Smiths wiggled her. Rather than anointing her, he punched her in the stomach. Why? Because God told him to. And she was made whole. She was healed. I think about Jesus. Jesus did some extraordinary things too. Brother Chris, I wonder how many times we had people come up here and have an eyesight and they said, go get me some mud while I spit in it. Come on, brother. Some of them said, no, thank you. I'll just get somebody else to pray for me. Jesus did some extraordinary things. The blind man came to him. He spit on the ground. He made a little spittle, touched it, and anointed his eyes. Said, go and wash in the pool. And he came back seeing. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. If God says it, it's not ridiculous. It may not make sense to you, and it may not make sense to me, but God has a purpose. God has a reason. Amen. And right there in the middle of his message, he said, stand up! I can imagine with most preachers, ooh, you're going to look like an idiot now. What if he falls? What if he can't stand up? But not the Apostle Paul. Because he perceived, as he was preaching, a hunger. This man wanted, not only wanted and desired, but believed that he could be healed. Not later, but that very same hour. When the Apostle Paul spoke to him, he said, stand upright on your feet. Can I tell you that the Bible says not only did he stand upright, but he leaped. Glory to God. He walked and he leaped and was made whole. Let me tell you something. The message is still the same today as it was when the Apostle Paul was preaching to the group there at Lystra. God is still a healer. He's still a deliverer. The word still will set you free. The word is still what we need to hear when we come into the sanctuary. Amen. And the word is what we need to study. Amen. And apply to our life. Paul shouted, stand upright on thy faith, on thy feet. How great a faith was that. Glory to God. There'll be times when your intentions are so righteous and so well will fall on deaf ears. I told you about my granddaddy. Many times people didn't want to hear what he had to say. I remember him saying that he was witnessing to a man that he worked with at Goodyear. My granddaddy always carried a little testament with him everywhere that he went. And he was witnessing to this man. And the man said, I just don't believe that. I just don't believe that. I just can't believe that. And my granddaddy pulled out his little testament. He said, oh, can I show you in the Bible? And the man said, I don't even care if the Bible says that. I don't believe it. There are going to be some ears that the message is going to fall on deaf ears. And hopefully God will change that heart. I don't know. I don't know the history of that man. I don't know what happened to him later. But hopefully God can change a heart and God can make that heart willing and humble and obedient. But can I tell you, if you'll stay true to the Word of God, if you'll preach the message, if you'll testify, and if you'll witness the message, there is an audience. You may have to move around a little bit. Come on, we want the non-believers to come to us. How convenient is that? But you may have to move around a little bit. You may have to go out into the highways, into the hedges. Amen. But don't change the message. Even though the audience may change, don't change the message. Because it's going to tell you, there's somewhere somebody wants to hear the Word of God. Can I tell you, even today, there's somebody somewhere that wants to hear the Word of God. They may not know what they want to hear, but that's what they want to hear. Because they're in a situation that seems hopeless to them. They're in a situation that they think nobody cares, let alone the church. You know, there's a lot of people think that the church so caught up in their own self that they don't care nothing about them. You know, I have to ask myself, have we given them that message? Is that what we're looking like? That we don't care? That we don't love them? Amen. Because the message, the gospel, is all about love. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about repentance. It's all about casting off the old works and the old man and putting on the new. This is the reason we can't change it. This is the reason we can't modernize it. This is the reason it is still standing today and needs to be preached in every pulpit, in every congregation, in every church. The Lord Jesus Christ is a saving grace. He's saving power. He's a forgiving God. Amen. And he loves you and me, but he doesn't love the sin. And he will not condone the sin. That has not changed from the very beginning of the Bible all the way through. God abhors sin. And he wants us to come out of that sinful nature and ask him to be both Lord and Savior of our life. We like the Savior part, but you also have to have him as Lord of your life too. That means you being submissive, you being obedient, and you being willing to do what the Lord would have you to do. So the man stood up. In the midst of that congregation, there's believers and there's opportunities. Amen. We don't always understand. You know, if we'd have been Paul and Barnabas, you know, said, well, Lord, why don't you just start revival right here? You know. But the Lord wanted them to move a little bit further down. And they found a place where the people were willing to listen. You might say, Brother Eddie, I've talked till I turned blue in the face. I've tried with my family. I've tried with my sons. I've tried with my daughters. Tried with my husband, my wife, whatever the case may be. But let me tell you something. Don't give up on the audience either. Don't give up. I'm so glad that my granddaddy didn't give up on me. I'm so glad that mom and dad didn't give up on me. I might have made a change when they wanted me to, but at least I made a change. Amen. Thank God. And that's the best thing that ever happened to me. I love you with all of my heart. Amen. I told somebody, you know, was talking about getting a bigger congregation. We can do that if you want to. But I got to preach the word. I got to preach the word. Amen. Nothing against anybody else, but you know what? We can serve coffee and donuts and croissants and get you comfortable and all of that's all right if you preach the gospel. Amen. But I'm so afraid the donut eaters would leave when the gospel was preached. Amen. You came not because you was hungry for natural food, but you was hungry for the Word of God. And thank God for you. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. Amen. Give the Lord praise in this place this morning. How we love you, Lord. How we thank you, Lord. How we praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Lord, that the gospel does never change. Never change. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed, every